He's just what you'd expect from a man who covers the NFL. 6 foot four, 300 pounds, fiery, but he does know the Chiefs as well as anyone. He's the Chiefs beat writer for the Kansas City Star, Sam McDowell, on the program.
Sam McDowell brought to you by our friends at Corona, Corona Light, Corona Premier, and the Corona Hard Seltzers. I don't know about anybody else, but the Corona Premier has helped me get through the late afternoon. Thank you. Get them, your tailgates, you can get them in cans or bottles. If you're looking to watch that waistline, the Corona Hard Seltzer, zero carbs, zero sugars. Get them wherever you buy your Coronas. For me, that's the Harry's Brewery inside the hen house. But wherever you go to get your Coronas, grab them. Great tailgate gear. We just retweeted Adam Schefter, who will join us here in our next hour. Former All-Pro wide receiver Josh Gordon, who is being reinstated, is planning to sign with the Kansas City Chiefs. Sources telling ESPN, his agents Eric Dunn and Matt Leist from LAA Sports Entertainment confirmed Gordon is headed to Kansas City. The Chiefs get a new wide receiver for Patrick Mahomes. So there you go, another weapon. Adam Hill, a longtime friend of the program, writes for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, covers the Raiders and seemingly everything else in Las Vegas for the Review-Journal, said, is he playing defense now? So we'll take that up with Adam Hill. I tweeted back at him. I said, Raiders win a few games. Now everyone in Las Vegas is a comedian. Okay. A lot of people taking shots at the Kansas City Chiefs as, you know, listen, it's, what was it? First time they weren't in last week when they lost and fell behind both the Broncos and Raiders. It was the first time they weren't in first place in the AFC West standings, at least tied for first place in the AFC West standings, since the Obama administration. Now sub 500 for the first time in what, since the 0-1 beginning of the 2014?
It would have been week 9 of the 15 season when they were 4-5.
Wow, that's right, because they started 1-5.
Yeah, so the last time they were 4-5. It's the first time for Patrick Mahomes.
First time ever below 500. And it'll be the last time you ever see it again, people. Last time you ever see it again. As we mentioned, Sam McDowell is with us from the Kansas City Star. Sam, how are you?
I'm doing well. Busy all of a sudden.
Yeah, you like that? What do we make of Josh Gordon coming to the Kansas City Chiefs? I like it. I think, you know, get more weaponry. Let's go. He's 30 years old. I don't think you're going to get vintage Josh Gordon, but I think he is that kind of what everybody thought Cornell Powell, the fifth-round pick, could be. He is that kind of guy. So I'm all for the signing, and I can certainly see a way where it fits. And I think if you are not going to be able to hold anybody down on defense, or at least not consistently hold anyone down, you might as well outscore him.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of a harmless risk, right? I mean, it's a guy who's proven he's talented in the past. Obviously, the reason he's not been in the NFL has nothing to do with the talent he has on the field. And if you feel like he's a guy that can help your receiving core, and we've all obviously talked a lot about the wide receiver, too. I've never thought that that should be their top priority just because I thought they had other needs that were bigger. But here's a guy that you can probably get cheaper. That can help. And, I mean, that's what it's all about. Can he help your football team be a better football team? I think he clearly checks that box.
I think this is pretty interesting. The Chiefs had about $2.6 million in cap room. They're going to have to be, you know, according to the websites, now that they may be at 12.6, and the websites just haven't caught up with some deals that have come down. Who knows what they've done in renegotiating or restructuring different deals. But my assumption is they're going to have to get to work on getting some things. I still think Tyrann Mathieu getting extended in season is a distinct possibility, because that's the easiest way for them to open up a chunk of change, not just for this move, but any other moves, and to be able to go grab guys, you know, league minimum guys, just when guys end up on the injured list. So to me, I think there's probably some kind of coordinating or what would you say, corroborating?
I'm not entirely sure myself.
A move that goes with this, that works.
Correlating,
thank you. Correlating move to, you know, make sure that they've got enough cap room. But Josh Gordon reinstated, they jump on him and get him. You know, that's I'll give him credit. To me, that's what the New England Patriots were able to do, is whether it be trade or grabbing a guy as he signs, being able to run a little bit free and easy and be able to make acquisitions when they come about, and the Chiefs are able to do it on this one.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, he's a guy, I'm trying to look up some of his stats right now.
1,646 yards and 9 touchdowns at age 22 back in 2013.
So it's been 8 years, obviously, since he had that breakout season that has sort of made all of his off-the-field stuff such a major headline. It's because of that season that he had back in 2013 with the Cleveland Browns. And obviously, he's tried to get back in the league before, has not been able to stay out of trouble. Obviously, the issues with Josh Gordon have been marijuana. We should state that the league policy with the new CBA has softened on their stance on marijuana. And he was reinstated just, what was it, like last month or even earlier?
No, this past week.
Just this past
week? I think like today is reinstatement day.
Okay.
They cleared him, and I think today is the first day you could sign him.
This is I was looking at stories about him, and this is from yesterday's Seattle Times, the Seahawks, the last team that Josh Gordon played for. GM, the headline is, GM John Schneider says Seahawks hope to, quote, get rolling with Gordon once reinstated. And his quote was, Schneider said the team has, quote, always had a great relationship with Josh, and added, obviously he's someone who is right here in Seattle. When things get taken care of officially, we'd like to get rolling with him. So the Seahawks wanted him. They're not getting him.
I heard today, listen, I made some calls Friday night. There was some, you know, hey, he's going to be back. What's going to happen? I heard that the Chiefs did have interest. They were at least going to kick the tires on him. And what I was hearing through the weekend, it was that the Chiefs, it was going to be the Chiefs. And then today, and I think that'd be Seattle, somebody else jumped in the mix. One of the people I was talking to today said, well, I was moving pretty fast towards Kansas City, but now there's other folks that are involved. I was also told that Josh Gordon wants to play with Patrick Mahomes.
Who doesn't?
That's kind of my response as well.
I want to play with Patrick Mahomes.
But I think I don't know that the Chiefs necessarily want a bidding war as much as, you know, he's like, if you're offering, I want to play there.
Oh, I think that's a distinct possibility. And that's one of the advantages that we've talked about for a couple of years that the Chiefs should have, is these guys that are looking to sort of resurrect their career that have been good in the past, that want to prove that they still have it. There's not a better situation than having Patrick Mahomes throw the football to you. And let's face it, of the time in the past, since Patrick Mahomes has been starting, there's not a better time to try and get in that receiver room because of what we've mentioned, that Sammy Watkins is no longer here, that it's more obvious now that there's snaps available than there has been at any point during Patrick Mahomes' era here in Kansas City.
Gordon, it should be pointed out, while the numbers as far as prolific, you know, counting numbers, after being suspended for the 15 and 16 season, really even part of the 14 season, I think it came down 5 games into the 14 season, didn't play in 15 and 16. Played 5 games in 17 with Cleveland. Then he played 12 with Cleveland and New England in 18 and 19. He played in 10 games with New England and Seattle. The thing that jumps at me as to why you can feel like this is going to be, this has a chance to be pretty successful, yards per catch. This is since the suspension, before the suspension, 16.1, 18.9. 12.6, now almost 19 yards a catch, which is huge in today's NFL. Yes. When he had that 1,600 plus and 9 touchdown year. Since coming back from suspension, 18.6, 18, 15.8. And in Seattle, it was just a handful, but he was 19.9 for the handful of games he played in Seattle. So
overall, 17.4 yards.
Yeah, but I'm interested most in those, since the suspension.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's since in those years since he came back, he's averaging 17 yards per catch.
That's you know, reason to believe that the legs are still there. And I'm going to tell you what, and I believe that this is probably the Chiefs have had their eye on him whenever he left Seattle, whenever he got suspended again. I'm sure the Chiefs have had their eye on him. You know what was the kicker, and where I'd be like, okay, what do we got to do to make it happen? It would be Byron Pringle going up twice for balls that were catchable and not coming down with him.
Yeah, to me, the biggest question for a receiver that I would look for with Josh Gordon, whoever it may be that I'm bringing, is just, can he get open? I wouldn't be as concerned about the deep threat. You know, the yards per catch is great. I agree with you. I think it is an indicator.
You don't think you're getting open if you're averaging that kind of number?
Well, I do, but I also think, you know, I mean, let's look at the 19.9 you know, number, for example. I mean, it's seven catches. You know,
his longest catch for the year
is 58 for that year. But my point is, I think the Chiefs' biggest priority with the receiver is getting open, whether that's the deep route, the underneath stuff. I mean, Sammy Watkins wasn't open that often deep. He was open with the underneath stuff. And I still think that's the element of their passing game that they're missing. You need Patrick Mahomes to be running around the line of scrimmage a whole lot less. And the way to do that is guys open underneath, not necessarily getting all these guys. They've obviously got guys that can run the deep shot.
Yeah, I don't think when you look at those yards. Listen, the yards per catch I'm bringing up is that the man can run.
Sure.
Because
sure.
you can't get open if you can't run.
And I agree with you that's a good indication that his legs were still left at, what was it, his age 28 season.
Right.
In 2019. Obviously, the Chiefs would have, of course, brought him in the facility, worked him out, so that they know what he's got left a lot more than what we can tell just based on these statistics. But I do think that is an indication. I'm just saying that I think what they need most from a guy that they bring in is a guy that can run the underneath routes and get open quickly off the line.
I think what they need is a guy who can catch. Okay, because Byron Pringle can't catch. Right? That's what came about. And when I say catch, like, oh, if he's wide open and runs a button hook and you hit him in the chest, he'll catch it. But he had a couple of plays that are the ones like, you know, Devontae Adams. Josh Gordon does Devontae Adams-like things. That's running full speed across the field, and you throw one high, and he goes up and snares it. You can throw a bullet in there. He has those kind of hands. And Byron Pringle doesn't, and Mecole Hardman doesn't. And Tyreek Hill does to an extent. In fact, he was almost coming down with that first ball if the guy didn't rip the arm away. He's amazing, but I think that's as much his body control of getting his hands into position. Josh Gordon snatches the ball out of the air.
I think, you know, let's layer onto that point, too, with Devontae Adams specifically. They need somebody besides Travis Kelce. And, you know, Tyreek Hill has this to a certain extent, but as we really see with Travis Kelce, that it has just the understood connection with the quarterback. That's why Devontae Adams is so good with Aaron Rodgers. A lot of those routes, I mean, we saw it Sunday night against the 49ers. I wondered how many of these actually are intended to be the back shoulder fade versus this is a deep route, but the way this cornerback is covering me, I understand it as the quarterback, and I trust that my receiver sees the same thing, and therefore we're getting the 25 yards on the sideline instead. That's the sort of connection they don't have necessarily with the wide receiver. I mean, he's got a great connection with Tyreek Hill. He's so talented. But we don't see a lot of the back shoulder stuff. Now, part of that's because of his size, of course. Part of that's also because they line him up in the slot. It's the way teams defend him. But Josh Gordon is a bigger guy as well. You know, he's 6'3". And so he's a guy that could potentially, you know, if you can build that chemistry, we could see some of the routes like that on the sideline.
We may be burying the lead here. Let's at least address if he can stay in a uniform.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
That's number one.
It's gone away quickly.
And let's hope he can for his sake, right? Forget about football.
Right.
Let's hope he's got his life together. Like you said, marijuana has been the primary thing, although I don't know that it's been the only thing. Okay. But it's now that's a different policy in the NFL. So that gives great reason for optimism, I think, for the Chiefs. But to your point about the back shoulder and those kind of things, I agree. And I think part of that is body control, right? Athleticism. This guy's an elite athlete. And Byron Pringle's an elite athlete for everybody sitting in this room, right? But for the NFL, he can't twist his body and go up and make the catch. That's what happened to him, where he couldn't get his head around. You know, and Gordon and Tyreek Hill are those kind of elite athletes. And I think the other thing it would allow, and we even discussed this morning, you guys can attest for that, Jed and Curtis, when we were chatting this morning, Tyreek Hill, when he had his 10 for 198, he was 7 for 165. And did he have one touchdown that first game or two? I can't remember what it was. But 7 for 165 and I think one touchdown, and maybe it was his only one. If he had two, I think he might have had two, from the slot. And when they list him at 5'10", I think that's very generous. That's that outside spot, like you're talking about those back shoulder throws, you need a bigger catch radius to make those happen too. And Tyreek Hill doesn't have that. And if this would allow him to if this would allow him to play more in the slot, I think that, because, and if Josh Gordon can still run and he can take the top off, and now Tyreek Hill's working on the underneath as well as Travis Kelce. Kelce on one side of the field, Tyreek Hill on the other. That to me, this is where it's not just what Josh Gordon brings you. the exponential effect is where how it allows you to use Tyreek Hill perhaps differently.
Yeah, that's a great point. Because the way teams have defended the Chiefs is in large part because of those other guys they have in the room, those other options that they have. We've seen it with the running game. We've seen it with those two receivers. Well, I consider Kelce a receiver still. We consider with those two receivers basically the bracket coverage and the deep shell. And you do wonder if Gordon can be a guy who can consistently get open off the line of scrimmage. I keep emphasizing that because I think that's exactly what the Chiefs need. If he can get open off the line of scrimmage, that's going to have to change the way – either that or if you don't change the way, then Josh Gordon could have a field day. And you've got to do something. And so I'm interested to see what he's got left. I mean, like you mentioned, he's 30 years old. It hurts him being out of football.
30 years old without a lot of mileage.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe it hurts him being out of football, but it helps him because he hasn't taken the amount of hits that a normal 30-year-old has taken. So that's why I think it's really intriguing just to see exactly how much he's got left.
And as much as they move guys around, you could also, I think it would work if maybe it looks like he's outside and Hill's inside and they switch and suddenly Gordon's in the slot and can run. He seems like the kind of guy, once he gets the connections with Mahomes, that run that short in, quick slant in. Get separation off whoever's covering him, catch the ball, and has the physicality to make big plays down the middle of the field. And the turn, maybe that's where that 17 yards a catch comes, 5 yard slant. He breaks it, and if that happens enough times, that forces teams to adjust to that. They could use him in a number of different situations.
Yeah, I think he gives him another big-bodied athlete to go make some plays.
Red zone, too.
Absolutely, and that's the real spot where he can go up and win the jump balls. And be a guy that can do those things. So yeah, I definitely think, I love it. I will say this: I think you got to give him 8 weeks.
Yeah. What is the reasonable timeline to expect that this guy can be the contributor that we're talking about? Could he potentially be?
I think 4 weeks for sure. You just don't, you know. And if he hits the ground running and he's great, awesome. But if for 4 weeks he sucks, you're not throwing him out. And to me, I would wait 8 weeks. I mean, training camp is what, 7?
Well, it's, yeah, including the preseason games. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I would be wanting to see is it's 7 weeks. Let's call it 8 for, you know, the fact that he's got to learn a whole playbook and everything. He hasn't had that up until now. So I think you're looking at week 10. Before, if he's just a disaster, then you go, okay, this just isn't working. Like, we're not getting there. But, yeah, I think you're going to have some patience before it comes around. But I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you need to be really excited. They have created enough cap room to go get a guy in season. And by the way, the guy I always used as an example is, when a Josh Gordon comes around, and it is Josh Gordon that they're actually signing.
Irony.
You know, I was like, when the Browns are bailing on Josh Gordon, when the Pats are bailing on Josh Gordon, you got to have the room to go get Josh. Well, when Josh Gordon's reinstated, they got Josh Gordon. So let's go.
We're getting Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
Get tickets.
The Eric Eager has talked about the importance of the third receiver, and we just were talking in our last segment about, I want to give credit to it. Who was it that was? Was it Dwayne? Somebody was talking about Sammy Watkins. Maybe it was Marty. Talking about, you know, the loss of Sammy Watkins, and I you know, or maybe it was just us in the opening segment saying, hey, how has this team gotten better from last year from a weapon standpoint? They haven't.
No.
Nope. Tyreek Hill suddenly got 20% better? Travis Kelce did? No. The hope was that Mecole Hardman was going to take a big step. Have you seen that?
No, we haven't. I mean, we talked about that for
decent what, in the run game
15 months now that that needed to happen.
Hardman, Pringle, Robinson, they all look like the same guy that they've always been, which are useful pieces.
So DeMarcus Robinson almost looked like he picked off the pass yesterday and was going to go the other direction for pick six. He still can't figure out what direction to run.
I think this, you know, Eric Eager's talked about, like, the third receiver is an important guy because that's really – nobody has that kind of depth at corner where you get that far down. And so now, take your pick, Mecole Hardman becomes, hopefully, on down the road, Josh Gordon will prove to have a lot of his old abilities, and now that moves Mecole Hardman down to the third receiver and the fourth option. Now, think of the third corner and the fourth best coverage guy on Mecole Hardman.
Yeah.
Now Mecole Hardman gets that much more dangerous. Byron Pringle's down to the fifth guy. You know, DeMarcus Robinson, the fifth guy.
Well, Byron Pringle could be running the route that Marcus Kemp was running yesterday over the middle of the field in the first half.
Yeah.
And Byron Pringle is, you know, if you have him in that role, that's the type of player who you should have in that role,
yeah.
Right?
I think there was a reason to be optimistic, but yesterday I was like, you got to make that catch.
That ball has to be caught.
It has to be caught. And it's especially when you're at that spot on the roster.
Right.
Like, you can't miss that. Same thing with Marcus Kemp. That ball has to be caught. Fans can be like, I don't know, Mahomes needs to be doing the no-look thing and all. All right, that's fine. But in no wide receiver room is Marcus Kemp got anything to say.
Right. Those are independent thoughts. I mean, just because you don't think that the ball was thrown perfectly, that doesn't mean that the ball shouldn't be caught. The ball has to be caught there. And I guarantee you, if we had locker room access and we talked to Marcus Kemp yesterday, he would tell you, I've got to catch that football.
Yeah. That's you know, we'll find someone who can, and we did today. Josh Gordon signed.
That's it. And if he's going to be on the roster because he's a great special teamer, fine. But just don't let him run crossing routes in the red zone.
Yeah,
let somebody else handle that work.
Who goes bye bye now?
Well, I wonder about Darius Fountain. He hasn't dressed in either of these first three games. He's not on the team because
I don't wonder.
Teams.
I will tell you, it's got to be Darius Fountain.
So. You know, can you get a guy like that back in your practice squad? I don't know. He's got a lot.
Even eligible? Am I wrong? There used to be an age restriction. Can you just put anybody on the practice squad now?
Yeah, the last 2 years. So they carried over the COVID rules where you can have, what is it, Curtis? Is it six veterans, I think?
It's six, yes.
But he's still, I don't think he's got enough accrued seasons anyway to count as one of those vesting veterans. But, you know, he's got some tape out there because of the preseason. And I think maybe a team that's more wide receiver needy. What's funny is the Colts are really wide receiver needy. And that's the team that gave up on him before he came to Kansas City. So the Colts know him. They liked him before he got hurt. And now he's shown that he's the same guy before he got hurt. Maybe Chris Ballard likes him still.
A lot of Bronco fans on Twitter were dreaming about that, about Gordon.
We're talking about Darius Fountain.
Oh, they meant Gordon. I'm sorry. I realize you moved away from that subject. Sorry.
I'm finding a new home for Darius Fountain while he's still on the.
You
50th.
Are in the room with us here, aren't you?
I am, but I was looking at something else.
He's writing a story while
and he's
talking
still,
to me,
right.
And still carrying on a Lucent technology, a Lucent technology.
Wow, that would have been
Lucent conversation.
Yeah,
I had a buddy who used to work for a company called Lucent Technologies. anyway,
so he got a random shout on the radio today. He was never expecting.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
He lives in Atlanta or something. I don't know where the hell he is now.
What is that?
We're very close. Yeah. We will take a break. Come back more with Sam McDowell. We'll get into the game. Chiefs losing 1-2. Does Sam think the sky is falling? Is he ready to just throw this team away? Does he put a resume out to try to go cover a real team? We'll find out those answers when we come back with Sam McDowell. He's brought to you by our friends at Corona, Corona Light, Corona Premier, and those wonderful Corona Hard Seltzers.
The program with Soren Petro.
Show me a man who doesn't love meat, and I'll show you a person that's not very happy in life.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. How many teams have had 33 first downs and 185 rushing yards at home, which the Chiefs did yesterday, and lost? 33 first downs, 185 on the ground at home and lost. The answer, we know it's at least one. It's actually two. 35-2 all time when having 33 first downs and 185 rushing yards in a home game. The only other team to lose in that regard was the Chicago Bears, who lost at home to Green Bay 38-17 back in 2014, despite having 261 yards on the ground. I'm sorry. 260.
I always love it when you have about 54 different numbers you're going to try to put out real quick, because
30.
I can't figure out what the hell you're saying, and I'm just wondering what somebody driving a truck right now is deciphering out of what you're getting at.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you were teasing me earlier today during the pre-show meeting about how I just sit there kind of quietly. It's because of Curtis rambling through these numbers that he jumbles up. I don't know what is happening here, so I can't add anything to the conversation.
235 yards on the ground and 33 first downs the Bears had, and lost by 21 at home.
What we're going to come to find out is none of those numbers are actually correct.
It's actually true.
Yeah. Well, I can't figure out what goes with what. Anyway, what is the point, Curtis?
I have no idea.
It's 185 yards rushing.
Yeah, I said that's four times, and what? But you know,
maybe, well, along maybe with 17 other numbers,
maybe you were distracted. 33 first downs, 185 rushing yards at home. That's not complex. 35-2 all time.
And if you'd stop right there, we'd all digest it. But then it went on.
You would have. I get the feeling you wouldn't have.
Yeah. Okay.
Sneaking suspicion.
Okay.
What one note on Josh Gordon? I am told just
you see the interest like, level Sam McDowell has in your question.
I didn't hear part of that. He's
just
working.
To clarify, they are going to sign him to the practice squad initially, with the hopes of eventually, once he gets up to speed, elevating him to the active roster.
So Josh Gordon, practice squad player.
You guys can get back to whatever.
Nah,
whatever this foolishness was.
Whatever.
This was just called crapping on Curtis.
Well, actually, the point is, like, when you rush for 185 yards and have 33 first downs, you're almost always supposed to win. Problem is that crashed into four turnovers with no takeaways, which relates to you should never win.
Yeah.
And so hence they could have gone either way, and it was really the fourth turnover was the one that really sealed their fate when it was all said and done. How about it, though? Where do you sit, Sam McDowell, about what the Chiefs' record will be when this season is over? I took a pulse on what people are thinking. Early on in the day, 8-9, 9-8, 11-6, 10-7s. Now people have kind of gotten back to 12-5s and 13-4s and, you know, some 11-7s. Where do you sit?
I still think they win, you know, at least 12 games, I think. I mean, has my opinion of their final record changed based on these first 3 weeks? Of course, because I didn't think they'd lose two of the first three games.
But you don't just chalk that up to, like, I think it's fun, but if what you're trying to do is be accurate, which, I mean, it's fine. Go ahead. It's a fun, you know, task, but it's a fool's errand to think you're going to nail the wins and losses. I think it's easier to get the record right than it is what games.
Well, the reason
it's going
to
be
the reason I have to change mine is because I thought they were going to be 15-2. So I, you know,
well, they could still be there.
They could, but
you're gutless.
If I predicted them to go 12-5, I don't think I would change it. But
that's what I did, and I'm not.
Yeah. So, but you know, I still think they win at least 12 games. I don't think that there's this big. The sky's not falling here. You know, it's turnovers, which I think on a lot of teams might not be as easily correctable. I mean, you know, there's quarterbacks that are going to throw 20, 25 interceptions. This isn't one of them. He's thrown three interceptions the last two games. I don't see that continuing. And, you know, I mean, I understand that Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbled in back-to-back games. That's also unusual. That was a weird hit that he suffered on Sunday. Tyreek Hill's not a guy that turns the ball over with regularity. I think that there's enough evidence in history that proves that was an irregular day yesterday, and that's not something we should expect over the next 14.
Yeah, but this is what it looks like when they lose with Patrick Mahomes. Like, this is what it takes. It takes kind of a fluky day. Like, you know, and I would be upset if I were a Charger fan here in fluky day. We're the ones who created those turnovers. Yes, but we're talking big picture of what the norm is in Kansas City, to your point, Sam, about the INTs. No, he's not going to keep him up, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not a guy who fumbles a lot. So I do think that from a Kansas City perspective, this was fluky. They don't usually put the ball in harm's way, whether it's Kemp, you know, a receiver not being able to catch a ball that was eminently catchable, or Mahomes just making a bad overthrow. They don't usually do those things, and it happened in this game. It's not going to happen every game. And I still think there's reason to believe that defensively they're going to get better. I think they did make strides in this game. Do you agree?
Yeah, I thought they were better defensively. Now, that's relatively speaking based on what we saw in the first two games. I still think, I said that it doesn't affect my opinion that much about what's going to go on over the next 14 weeks. But the one thing that I do think should be a concern is the defensive line. I don't think that they're generating a pass rush with any sort of regularity, and that is something I think we could be talking about over the next 14 weeks. And how much does that affect the back end of it? I think it could be a lot.
Did you get the vibe that Steve Spagnuolo was certainly opening up to the idea of Chris Jones back at D-tackle.
He was definitely hedging. Mm-hmm. I think we'll see more of Chris Jones back at defense. And I think we should see more of Chris Jones back at defensive tackle. I always have said that pressure up the middle, I think, is harder for a quarterback to scramble from than pressure on the edge, especially just one of the edges. And you know, they're not getting pressure from both edges. That would be something completely different. But they don't have somebody opposite of Chris Jones who's generating pressure. And I don't think even when Frank Clark comes back that he's going to be consistently doing that. So I'd put my best guy in the middle if he's accustomed to playing there.
He seemed to kind of couch it from the perspective, like not a position change, but, you know, just kind of moving guys around.
Wait, like, are you talking like about like Juan Thornhill and Dan Sorensen?
Yeah. But
by the way, do you remember that from last week, or were you
position
off?
Change.
I was off last week, but I did try and keep up with the press.
Where Todd Lebo asked Steve Spagnuolo, and I think we're all Spagnuolo fans.
Yeah, but I'm not. I usually tune Todd's questions out.
He asked him, like he gave the snap counts and Juan Thornhill not playing. He's like, well, what you're talking about there is a position change. I'm like, position change? Like, he's not going to DN. That's not it. And then he said, you know, usually for that to happen, the guy that's playing has to not be playing well. And I'm like, okay, he's calling it a position change, but I think what he's talking about is a starter change.
A depth chart change.
Change who's start, yeah. And then I was like, well, have you seen Dan Sorensen's PFF grades? Your grades can't say that he's the best safety in football right now. Your grades can't say that he hasn't missed at least a number of tackles. Maybe you grade it differently, and you're like, hey, Now, PFF had him for 9. Well, 3 of those, you know, you need to be Superman to tackle, so we've only got him for 6. There's no way you had him as, like, A-plus player. So, right. Like, if you want to say we're not switching Dan Sorensen for Juan Thornhill, it can't be because Dan Sorensen's playing great, which is, to me, where they get to Juan Thornhill doesn't know what he's doing. Right? That's the only conclusion we can reach on that one, right?
I think that Juan Thornhill's not giving them what they want.
Okay.
I think, yeah.
Within the scheme. Yeah. He doesn't know what he's doing.
I don't know if I think that's probably a little bit stronger.
Well, how would you describe it?
I would state it.
How would you state it?
Well, I don't know if it's an issue of that he doesn't know where to be and when to be there. I think anytime I talk to Juan Thornhill, he's a bright guy.
That's what I think, too. And I'd be
surprised.
I think he's a freelancer.
Yeah, I do think that.
A see ball, get ball. And yeah. I think there's a little bit of, you know,
Marcus Peters in that he's kind of a freelancer in that regard.
Yeah, but I remember Greg Robinson's defense, you know, here was like, well, if this, then that. I remember watching him, and we could get down on the field back in those days, and we were 15 feet from where he's telling the linebacker what to do. And I'm like, just on one run key, there was like, you need your shoulder here and your shoulder, you need to do this and that and be on this shoulder and then be on that shoulder. And I'm like, no wonder this thing doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Like, they're sitting here trying to process minutia. Like, I got why Greg Robinson's defense sucked, right? Because I could hear how many different things he wanted him to be doing.
Yeah.
And I think there has to be a little bit of that. Bob Glauber said, yeah, he can get a little bit carried away with his coverages. He's always wanting to disguise coverages. And sometimes maybe you don't need to disguise it. You need to just let a guy go get a guy.
Yeah, here the two things that confuse me about the Thornhill situation. One is he was playing in this defense in 2019 when he was on Pro Football Writers Association, all rookie team.
So playing well on this
team. He wasn't having a problem with the scheme then. It seems odd that he'd be having a problem with the scheme now. And the other thing is, if it's not working, maybe he's not in the right spot where you want within the scheme. Don't you at some point maybe have to tweak your scheme allow him? Yeah, you've got a guy with some unique physical, rare physical traits from that position. Do whatever you have to do on the back end in your scheme to allow him to be really good. Because just saying he's not doing what I want him to do in my scheme and I'm not changing isn't working.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I mean, when we talk about the way he freelances in particular, I think that they've got a defense that a risk is okay. You know, if this was a defense that's really buttoned down and they're stopping guys all the time, you just want everybody to play assignment football, right? And I understand that that's always – every coach is going to tell you they just want everybody to fulfill their assignment. And I think with the defense that isn't stopping teams with regularity, it's okay to have a guy that's willing to take a chance out there like he did in the preseason game in Arizona.
Well, and I would buy it more if I wasn't watching Marquise Brown run wide open between Tyrann Mathieu and Dan Sorensen.
Yeah.
Like, how is Juan Thornhill paying this price when that's going on the other two? And my point about Thornhill and Sorensen was about Chris Jones. Like, we're talking about a position change.
Yeah.
Okay. We are using what we would determine what we would actually call a position change down to D tackle. There's nothing about what's happening at D tackle right now to say that everything's fine there.
No, and they're, like I said, those are guys that contributed in some fashion last year. I thought Torf Wharton was on the path to have a pretty good second year.
Jaron Reed wasn't. And he's been non-existent.
Right. But, I mean, even that guy, I mean, he's got a season under his belt where he was really good just 2 years ago, and he's still a young player. Specifically, the lack of Turk Wharton. Where's Derek Nottie been for the past
Well, I think he's
hurt.
He's got a hip injury.
Right. But I don't think they're getting as much of – not only are they not getting very much out of those positions, they're not getting nearly what I thought they would based on what I saw out of training camp. What I saw from these guys last year, the last couple of years, I'm really surprised by the lack of production of defensive – the only thought that I had with Chris Jones, because I never thought they should have switched him to defensive end, but I did allow for the fact that, okay – it's more of a need at defensive end than you have at defensive tackle. And through 3 weeks, that hasn't been the case. Now I think they have more of a need at defensive tackle than they do at defensive end.
I would agree. And I think the moral of this story is all that training camp stuff matters about as much as spring training. Spring training numbers. That's been my history.
Really?
Yeah.
Obviously it's not games. I don't think I'd go that far, though. I think in...
As opposed to spring training where they actually play the game?
Well, but
the numbers still end up being bunk?
Yeah, you've got pitchers that are only throwing fastballs in spring training games, that you know exactly what's coming. There's less of that. And, you know, you do have
We hear from Frank Clark that it was, you know, he's working on things?
We heard that from Orlando Brown.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Orlando Brown.
Orlando Brown. Yeah, yeah. But, there's certain things, especially I think wide receiver, cornerback, you can judge from that. There's guys that specifically made the team because of what they did in training camp.
I think there are – listen, there's always something to be gleaned. But I do think that training camp is kind of a great lie. And I even think the preseason games, because so few of the guys that are actually going to make the team, you get so few snaps, I think even that's a bit of a fraud. And I really do think that for a lot of these teams, the what are we going to do is largely figured out in the first 4 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, what was it that Steve Spagnuolo told us in year one about his defense? Wasn't it like
second half?
Yeah. Now, it's probably easier to say that when your defense was playing like they were at the first half of 2019. Hey, wait till the second half of the season.
No, but said it in training camp.
That did come to fruition, though, in 2019. Now, I think when you're in year three, you would like to see not the type of lumps that they've taken early in the season.
We'll take a break more with Sam McDowell. He's brought to you by our friends at Corona, Corona Light, Corona Premier. Corona Hard Seltzers, you're getting your tailgate together. Make sure you stop by and get your Coronas. The Corona Hard Seltzer, 0 grams of carbs, 0 sugars. Get it today wherever you buy your Corona.
The program with Soren Petro.
Hell no. Okay, that answered your question.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Sam McDowell, the Kansas City Stars here, brought to you by Corona Light, Corona Premier, Corona Hard Seltzers. Sam, so where do they go from here? I think one of the things they need to do is start being aggressive on the fourth downs. They didn't have an opportunity to do it because they had a 4th and 9 and a 4th and 14, and that was it. 4th and 9 was at their own 21, and the 4th and 14. The 4th and 14, I think, was at their own 21, and the 4th and 9 was at the Chargers 16. Where there's not a lot of room to defend, but it's clear the Chargers went for it on 4th down 3 times. You're going to look at the stats and only see one, but that's because one got called back because of a penalty and they ended up punting. And another one, they got a penalty against the Chiefs, which gave them a 1st down, so that actually does not go as a 4th down play. But they really had 3 opportunities. Twice they converted it, and I think that's the plan against the Chiefs and against Patrick Mahomes. And I think that's what they're going to do. Here moving forward, can the Chiefs' offense match that? And will Andy Reid come a little bit out of his comfort zone? Because it seems like Eric Bieniemy didn't want to, you know, admit that, hey, maybe we got to juice it up a little bit?
Yeah, you know, I'm more interested in the opponent side of it. I mean, I do think that I'm always all for going at four on fourth downs, right? I mean, I think that not just the analytics. I mean, I think the analytics show the averages, law of averages, and this offense is well beyond the law of average. So I think they should go for it more than the average team does. But I'm really interested in just how often we've seen opponents go for it. You know, I mean, the Chargers had an opportunity for a game-winning field goal with the Chiefs out of timeouts, facing fourth and long after they got the false start, and still opted to go for it, to where I literally turned to our buddies in the press box.
With a kicker that had missed one extra point and would go on to miss another on a day that the wind was howling.
But still, I mean, you know, they're still passing the ball after they get it at the 20-yard line. They're still trying to pound it in from the five. I mean, the aggression that the Chiefs' defense is facing is complimentary, of course, of their offense, but it's also punking this defense right now.
So what do you see against the Philadelphia Eagles?
I've not seen a lot that I like from the Eagles that I think would scare me. I realize that they've got the
Where do you see them unleash the fury tonight?
They've got a couple. They do run the ball well, and of course that is a weakness of the Chiefs, is defending the run. I mean, this is probably going to be a more similar team to what the Chiefs saw in Week 2 against Lamar Jackson. There's nobody out there like Lamar Jackson. But the offense and the way it's built is a little bit similar to what the Ravens are doing, and we obviously saw that the Chiefs struggled with that offense. So that could present some problems, but, man, it would surprise me if the Chiefs didn't really show up to play next week.
Where's your level of concern about the health of Andy Reid?
To be honest, I don't have a whole lot on that beyond what the Chiefs have told us, which I realize
they've told us virtually nothing other than
he's
out of the hospital.
Yeah. So, you know, the fact that he's going to, you know, he's back in the building today, I think suggests that it truly was a precautionary reason that they took him to the hospital.
So you don't have any concerns on that? He was wearing surgical hose during training camp.
Yeah, I mean, should
which is a circulate, it has to deal with circulation, which when the Chiefs don't put out what was wrong.
These are the conversations that happen, right?
These are the conversations that happen. Well, was he just dehydrated, or is there something beyond that? Is the internet was full of COVID and blood clot and different things like that, which is not, if you don't give the answer, speculation's what you're going to get.
Yeah, you've got an opportunity to clear it up and tell us what's going on. I mean, I understand it's a health issue, that the guy has some right to privacy. He's also a public figure, and I think a lot of Chiefs fans probably want to know. I mean, us as journalists, we certainly want to know what's going on with him.
Yeah, first and foremost, we're glad that right now he's healthy.
Yeah, glad he's back today for sure. Absolutely.
Absolutely. We'll see where it goes from here. Sam, appreciate it, buddy. Talk next week.
Thanks for having me.
Time for our Deli Fresh End of the Hour question. Sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense. Not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, in his NFL career, how many field goals has Justin Tucker missed in the final minute of regulation and overtime? Brought to you by Good Sense.